Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Last month, the Fresno Arts Council employee was accused of embezzling more than $1 million in taxpayer funds. Weeks later, many questions remain.
What did the city know about the controls that were in place to safeguard this taxpayer money?
Today, we speak with a reporter who says attention must be turned to what city officials knew and when they knew it. But first, these headlines. Public employees who work for Fresno County will still have a day off next week, but not in honor of Cesar Chavez. The county supervisors voted on Monday to rename the annual March 31st state holiday as Fresno County Farmworker and Agriculture Appreciation Day. The change comes after a New York Times investigation revealed allegations of sexual misconduct by the late civil rights leader. Sexual abuse allegations against Chavez are also rippling through classrooms. Educators are moving to revamp lesson plans about one of the state's most widely taught historic figures. The Los Angeles Times reports that some teachers are pivoting in real time instead of waiting for guidance from districts or state education officials. California Attorney General Rob Bonta is weighing in on a lawsuit against ICE that challenges living and medical conditions at a California desert facility. The ongoing lawsuit over the Adelanto Processing Center seeks to improve conditions for detainees. Anthony Victoria with our news partner KVCR reports.
The lawsuit was filed by several immigrant rights groups earlier this year on behalf of detainees at Adelanto. AG Rob Bonta says he's supporting the lawsuit because it's in the public's interest to draw attention to conditions inside. Bonta says his office visited the detention center last July. They found that detainees weren't getting timely medical treatment or good meals. They also said staffing levels were not at pace with the sharp increase in detainees. Bonta hopes the court will review his office's findings and end, quote, the civil rights violations at Adelanto. The Department of Homeland Security says the allegations of inhumane conditions are false and that ICE has better conditions than most U.S. prisons.
That was Anthony Victoria reporting. A Berkeley-based nonprofit says immigration judges held 70% fewer hearings last month for people detained by immigration authorities. The group Mobile Pathways analyzed federal data that showed judges held just 1,300 hearings compared to 4,400 the month before. Analysts say the drop in so-called bond hearings is unprecedented and troubling. The backlog and delays come amid a heightened crackdown on immigration enforcement under the Trump administration. An investigation into deer poaching has led to arrests in Tulare County. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife announced it has wrapped up a multi-year investigation into, quote, egregious deer poaching. They allege dozens of deer were killed out of season using spotlights and other illegal methods. The department credits a tip through a confidential program known as CalTIP. The case has been referred to the Tulare County District Attorney's Office.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. Learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. When news broke last month that more than $1.5 million had been embezzled from the Fresno Arts Council, the city of Fresno was unequivocal in its response. City Manager Georgianne White said, quote, "The city did nothing wrong." And she said she stood by that 100%. But Doug Hoagland disagrees. Doug is an independent journalist who's written nearly 50 articles about Measure P for a local news arts website, The Monroe Review. Most recently, Doug published an open letter to Fresno City Manager, calling her out directly for avoiding his questions over the matter. In his letter, Doug points out that the city has a fiduciary duty as the administrator of Measure P funds, and he has questions, among them, if the city asked for an independent audit before entering into an agreement with the Fresno Arts Council. Meanwhile, the Arts Council is managing the fallout. The executive director reportedly retired amid an investigation into the missing money. And last week, it was announced that a new interim director has taken over. So, to untangle where the city and Arts Council stand today and to discuss his biting letter, Doug Hoagland came to the KVPR studios.
Well, for my latest report, I went to the city's website where I could find the agreement between the city and the Arts Council that was entered into in 2023. The city basically contracted with the Arts Council to administer the grants program. And I was interested in the language of that agreement and what it might reveal in terms of a statement that the city manager had made in February at the last meeting of the Parks, Recreation, and Arts Commission.
After all this had come out.
After all this had come out. And that's kind of it's a 9-member board appointed by the mayor. Those folks, their job, according to Measure P, is to provide oversight to Measure P. So at the February meeting of this commission, the city manager had said, the city did nothing wrong. If you want to be angry with the Fresno Arts Council. And I wanted to see how that statement kind of matched up with what was in the agreement. One of the things that I wondered about was an independent audit. I was told by some folks in the community who know about grants and know what a public agency entering into a contract with a nonprofit, such as the Arts Council, what that public agency, such as the city, might want to know before entering into that agreement. One of the things I was told is that it's routine for a nonprofit that's looking for an agreement with a public agency to show a independent audit. That audit not only shows numbers, but it shows what kind of financial controls are in place. Because when you're entrusting a nonprofit, private agency, to basically shepherd millions of dollars, you want to know what kind of financial controls are in place. And that was one of my questions for the city manager. Okay. What did the city of Fresno know before they entered into the contract?
Did they do their due diligence to know that they were partnering with a nonprofit that was minding its P's and Q's?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you actually wrote an open letter to the city manager in Fresno about all of this. Why was that the right approach to take? And have you heard from the city manager?
To answer your second question first, no, I have not heard from her. I have been reporting on this for 2.5 years. And I would say, in fact, I would definitely say since June of 2024, I have been contacting the director of communications for the city, and I'd never get a response. Now, in fairness, prior to that time, I did have communication with that director, and I was getting information. But suddenly, that flow of information stopped. And I don't know why.
When did it stop? When this all erupted or prior?
It was almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
June of 2024. I've looked back at my text messages. So before writing this open letter to the city manager, I had sent her a list of questions. I did not get a response. I gave an adequate amount of time for her to respond. I know she's busy, but this is a matter of public interest involving taxpayer money. When I didn't hear back from her, discussed it with my editor, Donald Monroe, felt like this was an approach to take, to send an open letter with many of the questions listed.
And you raise some pointed questions in that letter. You say the city seems to be pushing the blame for this alleged embezzlement squarely on the Arts Council. You also say the reality is more complex than that. You write that the city may have missed opportunities to develop a stricter agreement with the Arts Council. How so?
Well, I think it goes back to the idea of if you could look at an independent audit of the Arts Council, if one exists, what did the city know about the controls that were in place to safeguard this taxpayer money? And if there had not been an independent audit that the Fresno Arts Council could produce for the city, could the city have asked for one? And if there was not one available before the contract was signed, why did the city sign it? the city manager also had said at the February meeting of the Parks Commission that she would have liked quarterly reports from the Arts Council, quarterly financial reports, but that that was not negotiated. My question to her, which seems very legitimate to me, if you wanted quarterly reports, why didn't you insist on that before signing the agreement?
To end here, I know it can get easy to get caught in the back and forth of all this, but the grant recipients could be hurt the most. Can you outline what you've heard from these groups, how they're feeling, especially the ones that were supposed to receive funds, that maybe that's now hanging in the balance?
If I could give you a couple of numbers, and I did check the city's website today to see what was the most current in terms of what they were reporting. There were 98 grant recipients in the 2025-26, which is the cycle that we're in right now. Those recipients had received the money they were supposed to receive, which left 33 that had not received it. For another report that I had done, and I think maybe this brings it down to the human level, I spoke to the director of a Laotian youth group dance troupe. And this troupe was one of the groups that have not received their money yet. It was a relatively small amount of money. I think it was $14,000, which in the total scope of things is a smaller amount. The director intended to buy new dancing shoes for her students because Lao New Year is celebrated in the Fresno area from April to June. And the director told me that the students needed new shoes because they dance on hard surfaces and it hurts their feet. So I think in my mind, that brought it down to the human level of what this money means for many small arts and culture groups in Fresno.
So we kind of know where things stand now. Do we know what's next? Are there any planned public meetings, anything you're keeping your eye on?
Sure. Well, this Parks, Recreation, and Arts Commission meets the third Monday of every month, 5:30 p.m., Fresno City Hall. That's where a lot of information that's going out to the public is available. The city is really faced with two big tasks right now. Finish the 2025-26 funding cycle, get that money out to those 33 awardees that have not yet received their money, but they've got to gear up for the 2026-27 funding cycle, which really should be underway now, because ideally you want those awards made May, early June, so the funding can be available at the beginning of the new fiscal year. We're here almost at the end of March, and that job of getting that up and running has not taken place yet. One positive note, or one step forward, is that the Fresno City Council on March 26 will be considering a recommendation to add three positions to the Parks Department. Those three positions would help administer the program. So it would seem they're pointing towards adding positions to get the next funding cycle going.
Doug Hoagland, independent journalist who has covered Measure P for the Monroe Review. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.